There was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their backs confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls the string. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings as the night folds in. On a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride.
Resurrect the Republic. Truth Radio broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Nations without borders.
Toward the end of yesterday's court proceedings in the case of Ammon Bundy and the takeover of the Malheur National Wilderness Refuge compound, U.S. District Judge Anna J. Brown ordered Ammon's attorney, Marcus Mumford, to put on evidence quickly or rest his case. Today, Mumford gave the judge and jurors just that in the form of direct testimony from Ammon Bundy himself. Picking up where he left off yesterday, Ammon talked about working with the sheriff in Bunkerville, Nevada, to get his family's cattle back from the Bureau of Land Management. Ammon testified that while he saw very few guns among the thousands of civilian protesters who showed up to express their support in the first 5 days, he did see several hundred federal agents, quote, fully armed, fully tactical, ready to fire on the American people, and threatening to do so. Ammon also testified that his interactions with Sheriff Ward were cordial and that he was well received by the sheriff. Ammon said his goal was to work with Sheriff Ward in Oregon as he had worked with the sheriff in Nevada. Ammon asked Sheriff Ward to take a stand to support the Hammonds. He and co-defendant Ryan Payne met with Sheriff Ward on November 5th of 2015. He said, "We were there to get the sheriff to stand for the Hammonds. That was it. I was able to see our local government in Bunkerville stand up for the people and restore the rights and protect them." Ammon later sent an email to Sheriff Ward, which read in part, "We respect that no two people think the same, and there are many opinions of how things should be accomplished. However, when one positions himself in government to force others to live the way that they believe, a serious line has been crossed. It is our solemn belief that multiple federal employees are using their positions in government to remove the Hammonds from the land to set a precedent for the removal of other land users. We declare that the Hammonds are not terrorists. They have not and would not hurt those around them. They are kind and generous people that love their neighbors. They have committed no crime and must not be punished further for these absurd accusations. As the county sheriff, you have taken an oath of office to defend against foreign and domestic threats. You hold the responsibility to ensure the Hammonds are protected from those that will continue to use government to force their personal beliefs upon others." Sheriff Ward testified that he believes this communication from Ammon contained an ultimatum, though he failed to identify any such ultimatum when questioned by Marcus Mumford. When it became clear that the sheriff was going to neglect his duty to protect his own constituents, Ammon felt that he had no choice but to occupy the Malheur Refuge to gain attention for the plight of the Hammond family. Ammon said that after the petition for a redress of grievances went unanswered, he asked himself, "Do we just go home and forget about it? We couldn't, he said. He made it clear that he believed he was following the Lord's plan in standing up for the Hammonds and going to Harney County. At one point, when Ammon tried to quote from the Holy Bible, the judge warned him to not read scriptures to jurors. Apparently, in Judge Brown's courtroom, it is expected that witnesses place their hands on the Bible and swear on it to tell the truth, but reading of the Bible itself is prohibited. The defense team played a video of Ammon asking people to join him in Burns, Oregon. Even as supporters began arriving in Burns, Ammon still had not decided to occupy the refuge building. When asked if they had participated in a conspiracy, Ammon responded, absolutely not. He testified that there was no plan in any way to prevent people from working at the refuge. He explained that there was no conspiracy, and that it wasn't until the day of the refuge takeover itself that he first proposed the idea to others in a meeting in the back room of a cafe. Ammon explained that the refuge takeover had nothing to do with impeding bird sanctuary workers. He said, this is so much bigger than the refuge itself. The problem is not at the refuge employee level. The problem is up above. They won't listen to us and won't consider our rights. Ammon explained that the plan was to stake an adverse possession claim at the refuge, which is why the occupiers changed signs, replaced decals on refuge vehicles, and made other improvements to demonstrate their claim. After the occupation began, Ammon said he communicated at least four times with the office of U.S. Congressional Representative Greg Walden from Oregon. Ammon felt encouraged when Representative Walden gave a speech on the House floor after the occupation began. Ammon said that Representative Walden understood the issue and was articulating what Ammon felt. He said, quote, standing on the Congress floor, I began to understand what we were doing was working. They were actually starting to listen. Here is an excerpt from that speech by Congressman Walden.
I thank the Speaker. Mr. Speaker, as I'm sure my colleagues are aware of the situation in Harney County, Oregon, where a group of protesters armed have overtaken a federal facility, the National Wildlife Refuge. They are originally there to protest the sentencing of Dwight and Steve Hammond. I know the Hammonds. I've known them for probably close to 20 years. The point I want to make at the outset here is for people in this chamber to understand what drives people to do what's happening tonight in Harney County. I've had the great honor and privilege to represent Harney County for a number of years. I have seen the impact of federal policies from the Clinton administration to the Obama administration. I have seen what happens when overzealous bureaucrats and agencies go beyond the law and clamp down on people. I have seen what courts have done. And I have seen the time for Congress to act, and then it has not.
After the jury left the courtroom for their lunch break, co-defendant Neil Wampler stood up, clapped his hands, and shouted, "We all love you, Ammon. Thank you for everything you've done," as Ammon was coming down off the witness stand. Some in the public gallery also applauded. Judge Brown looked up, but said nothing to Wampler or the gallery about their expression of support. But Judge Brown did have many instances of confrontation with Ammon and his attorney throughout the proceedings. When the judge wouldn't let one of Marcus Mumford's videos be allowed, Mumford shook his hands in the air in frustration. The judge said to Mumford, "Stop with the theatrics," to which Marcus Mumford replied, "It's not theatrics." The judge countered, "Yes, it is." The video in question was to help demonstrate the concern that the occupiers had over the heavy-handed tactics often employed by the FBI against civilians. Ammon himself challenged the judge directly when she sustained a particular objection by the prosecution. The judge told him to be quiet. When asked about the presence of guns among the occupiers, Ammon said that without them the government would have just arrested the group and taken them away in paddy wagons, never to be heard from. What he didn't expect was for the government to drop a hammer of extreme force on the peaceful civil disobedience action and kill anyone. Ammon said that he expected the federal government to pursue trespass or eviction charges against them, but not to ambush and murder their leaders. Ammon explained that the reason they went to the refuge and did what they did was because of the federal government's violation of Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 of the U.S. Constitution, which prohibits the federal government from owning vast tracts of land throughout the states. For example, the U.S. government claims to own over 80% of all the land in the state of Nevada. Ammon testified that he and other members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints view the U.S. Constitution as having been divinely inspired by God for the protection of the rights of the people, and that it is a grievous thing for the federal government itself to abandon the constraints imposed on it by the Constitution. For ongoing updates, please subscribe to the End Times News Report at www.youtube.com/prepare333. For the End Times News Report, this is Jake Morfonios.
Jake Morfonios, he is amazing. I have nothing but positive things to say about Jake and his reporting. There is so much more that you can learn from Jake. And tonight, folks, we are blessed again. We are truly blessed again. Laz is with us back again. Lazaro Ensenaro. Try and say that 12 times fast. Laz is a dedicated patriot. This man absolutely has taken it under his duty to expose the corrupt nature of the federal government and many of the constructs that the more overtly communitarian Marxist takeover of our government have created to brainwash the people. Now, Laz, you are with me. Can you hear me, brother?
Absolutely.
There he is. All right. Now, it's my understanding that you have also a guest with us that you wanted to bring with you tonight. Could you please do me a favor, as a contributor to RTR Truth Media, can you introduce your guest?
Definitely. That's Jeremy Baker. Jeremy Baker provided some services for Ryan Bundy as a non-licensed legalese. Jeremy Baker knows the law very well. I've known Jeremy Baker for almost 10 years. Mr. Baker, him and I resided in Alaska at one time, and we were exposing the corruption within the family courts. And if anybody understands corruption within the family courts, what you're seeing here right now with the Bundys also happens in family courts. The difference between the family courts and the Bundy cases are that they're criminal matters versus civil matters. And what happens behind closed doors, basically, if the walls can speak, they'll be screaming, echoing through for our nation to wake up and telling the world that this de facto government that has hijacked our court system, our legislative branch, judicial branch, and legislative branch and executive branch should be an epic proportion of tyranny that America needs to come down and swiftly take care of.
Because if de facto, as opposed to de jure, which we have been explaining to many of our listeners over the course of time, I really, the one thing that resonates with me with what you have to talk about, Laz, is that you understand fully. Truly, you understand the nature of the federal government. I want to share with you something, Laz, that something that you may be, it may resonate with you. Before the 14th Amendment was established, the post-Civil War Congress had instituted parallel predecessors, the Reconstruction Acts. One of such acts was deemed unlawful by President Andrew Johnson. Folks, President Andrew Johnson And I am going to share with you very briefly, and Laz, I want you to comment after I share this with the public, the power of what President Andrew Johnson said. Such a power has not been wielded by any monarch in England for more than 500 years. In all that time, no people who speak the English language have borne with servitude. It reduces the whole population of the 10 states. All persons of every color, sex, and condition. I want to repeat that. Of every color, sex, and condition. And every stranger within their limits to the most abject and degrading slavery. No master ever had a control so absolute over the slaves as this bill gives to the military officers over both wild and colored persons. Both colored persons and those of Caucasian persuasion. I come now to a question which is, if possible, still more important. Have we the power to establish and carry into execution a measure like this? I answer, certainly not. If we derive our authority from the Constitution, and if we are bound by the limitations which we impose, the United States are bound to guarantee to each state a republican form of government. Can it be pretended that this obligation is not palpably broken if we carry out a measure like this, which wipes away every vestige of republican government in 10 states and pulls the life, property, liberty, and honor of all people in each of them under the domination of a single person clothed with unlimited authority? Here is a bill of attainder against 9 million people at once. It is based upon an accusation so vague as to be scarcely intelligible and found to be true upon no credible evidence. Not one of 9 million was heard in its own defense. The representatives of the doomed parties were excluded from all participation in the trial. The conviction is to be followed by the most ignominious punishment ever inflicted on large masses of men. It disenfranchises them by hundreds of thousands and degrades them all, even those who were admitted to be guiltless, from the rank of freemen to the condition of slaves. President Andrew Johnson speaking on the Reconstruction Act of the 14th Amendment jurisdiction that, by the way, Ammon Bundy himself asked me to bring with me to Oregon, proof that the 14th Amendment jurisdiction that the federal government empowers itself with was rescinded by an act of usurpation and fraud, and of which I brought with him from the House floor of Oregon in 1868 that resolution was actually entered into the state house, and it went unchallenged for more than 50 years. Of course, now more than 150, sir. Your thoughts?
Oh, you're right. Well, I mean, to me, the 14th Amendment, as we spoke and articulated this, with William Wagner, and I believe Jeremy was standing next to me on this, is null and void. Everything from the 14th Amendment all the way up to the 26th Amendment is null and void for the simple fact of the organic 13th Amendment.
Amen. That is why you and I are joined forever in this in this mission with William Wagner, with many men like you who have independently and separately with our own research, come to the same conclusion. You know, my grandmother used to have this expression. When I used to get in trouble when I was a kid, she used to say, well, you know, if one person says you're not right, you might want to think about it. But if this person and that person and that person and this person says you're not right, you might want to consider the fact that you just may not be right. God bless her. God bless her soul. So, I have to say to you, Laz, I have reviewed much of the information that you've put out at great detail. And I have to say that aside from the work that you've done, the research that I have done independently from you, you and I have just recently met in the past year. We met each other briefly and then we came together again on this show. But I have to say that the research that we have done was done independently from one another. And I have come to the same conclusions that you and William Wagner have come to.
With respect to the Organic 13th Amendment.
Yes, sir. Respect to, yes, in respect to that. And as not only that, but the New Hampshire representative who has been castigated by many progressives. What is her name? I forget her name right off the top of my head. Trumbull, something to that effect. She entered into her the legislation of the representation of her state, a bill to recognize the original 13th Amendment, and it was treasonously stricken down, even though they found it upon in their vaults. They found that the 13th Amendment had been ratified, had been a part of their documentation for many, 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 many years. This is something that the American Bar Association, along with the British Accreditation Registry, the Bar Association in and of itself, has sought to obscure from the public. They have taken control of our court systems entirely, our juries. The one glimmer of hope that I've seen in Oregon is that regardless of Judge Anna Brown's subversion to the jury that she attempted, was that the jury saw past her attempts to get that stranglehold upon them, and they saw a just and righteous verdict in not guilty for all involved in the Oregon standoff. Your thoughts, sir?
I don't even know where to begin. I mean, there's a lot of information, and I'm trying to cover as much as you're covering. Trying to expand with respect to the Organic 13th Amendment, I beg everybody. There's a phone number in the back of whoever has a pocket Organic 13th Amendment. There's two phone numbers in the back where they print the actual Constitution. In that Constitution, when you read it, those two phone numbers, I beg you to call those phone numbers. They have validated that the Organic 13th Amendment does exist, which is Title of Nobility, and that they've been working hard and pushing it. The reason why they would cannot expand or further elaborate is because members of the American Bar Association are board members of that pocket constitution. So I spoke to a lady, I believe her name was Joanne. This is about 4 months ago. So don't take my word for it. I want everybody to do their own research and be diligent of the information that when we put out there, question it and take time to call those numbers that I'm asking you to call behind the pocket constitution. So you don't have to take my word for it. You just got to call and start asking these tough questions. She was kind enough to tell me that the board members are aware of the Organic 13th Amendment and that they are, and she validated that they are members within the board that are part of the American Bar Association. What we have to do to move this issue? Well, she basically could not further elaborate or expand with regards to my question. Now, with regards to the Mount Hill Refuge, the FBI was there to assassinate that patriot. Michelle Fiore basically put out a YouTube video earlier today that articulates how they were going to massacre our patriots. How Mike McConnell and some other informants were
planning. Mitch McConnell and the rest of their Operation PAC-CON operatives.
Correct. They were setting up for an assassination attempt, which is why Anna J. Brown was adamant in releasing this discovery to appear and produce, even despite they were subpoenaed, even if they were in the Freedom of Information Act. They were adamant, and I believe Jeremy Baker can even expand on this. He was part of the Ryan Bundy's legal assistant team, and even Shauna Cox. And I was with Shauna Cox. Anna J. Brown was a kangaroo court. She was covering up all the criminal activity by the de facto government, and knew how this defective and the discovery would prove that they were that these people were going to be assassinated. I mean, in cold blood. I'm glad that we should be happy that everybody was able to walk, for the exception of LaVoy. But you had to see the mastermind, and FBI Prince and Harry Reid and Jeremy Comey should be starting a grand jury to hang these guys for treason. Hang them for treason. Prosecute them and then hang them. First, we prosecute them with respect to the evidence and everybody that was directly and indirectly, everybody from even Uranium One, John Podesta, Bautista, Loretta Lynch, Barack Hussein Obama, Hillary Clinton, everybody member of Uranium One, everybody behind Barrick Gold Inc., Calico Resource, everybody that was directly and indirectly, Kate Brown, Jeff Merkley, Ron Wyden, Greg Walden, Gordon Smith, Stephen E. Grassi, David Ward, Cliff Bench, Andy Bench, Sheriff Wolf, all these people should be prosecuted in front of a common law grand jury and be hung for treason, because what they perpetrated was treason. Including the guy that pulled the trigger. That guy definitely needs to be one of the first ones. And then, you know what? We'll drag George Soros from wherever he's at and hang him ass too. So, and Jeremy Baker can expand on how they were trying to hide the discovery, or how well they prevented the discovery from coming in into the proceedings.
Yeah. Thanks for letting me on the show. I went to Oregon specifically to look at the discovery to see what I could pull regarding the prosecution. When I got there, I noticed that there was quite a few things on the table that hadn't been asked for, and it seemed like there was a lot of things that were filed that didn't really seem to serve our objective. So what I did was, is I came in and filed a couple of things. I noticed right away that Ryan Bundy wasn't allowed to have a rule book in the jail. They kept on blocking him the rule book, and if he couldn't have the rule book, he couldn't understand what was going on. Am I still here?
All right. Yes, I'm here. I want to share something with you guys. I had an absolute full signal here where I am. And for some reason, I still keep getting knocked off. How interesting. You folks stay on the line. We're going to go to a short break. We'll be back. Resurrect Republic to the radio broadcasting on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
As a regular listener to Republic Broadcasting, you certainly understand the times and circumstances that we are living in. You certainly understand that the good times are over, and you certainly understand what we are heading for. Though we do not know what exactly is going to happen, we must assume that it's going to be a disaster. Are you prepared for that mess? Go to www.bugoutpanama.net and get the necessary information on our growing community of awake and prepared individuals, just like you. At www.bugoutpanama.net, you will learn how we are preparing on our farm, Finca Bayano, for what is coming. Emigrate while you still can to our village, where survival is of the utmost importance. Prepare. Don't despair. At www.bugoutpanama.net.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANARepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Folks, hey, you need to go to ResurrectedRepublic.com. Go to ResurrectedRepublic.com and click on that PayPal button. If you make a donation to the station, we will send you a few things, a few ebooks, as well as the recording that I made of that broadcast in the middle of a, well, I'm not going to mention the bikers group that I was singing that in, but hey, you know, it was cool. It was a really good time, and they were learning all about the 14th Amendment, so I'm all cool with that.
Folks, I had directly challenged Judge Grassley to a debate upon Ammon Bundy's interpretation upon the Constitution. And Judge Grassley, of course, being the coward that he was, did not want or have any desire to debate anyone upon the subject. Now, I've given Mike a clip of what triggered me, for lack of a better term, we will use that social justice warrior term, triggered me to invade Judge Grassley's safe space and try and challenge him as to his interpretation upon the Constitution. Now, Harney County Judge Steve Grassley did have this to say. Please, Mike, roll that clip.
You mentioned that a lot of the people here agree with the points that the Bundys have made.
Regarding some of them.
Some of them. What do you make of their interpretation of the Constitution?
A guy called me yesterday and said, why aren't you enforcing this provision, the one that Bundy keeps going back to?
Which one's that? Sorry.
He can't even recall.
I can't quote it. Before we get done, I'll point it out to you and give you
article what, section numbers, what, but, clause what?
They keep saying, why aren't you doing this? There's no authority to own property. The sheriff's in charge. All those things. And my question to him is, are you asking me to uphold and enforce only that portion of the Constitution that you like? Or the whole document? And his response is, well, that's your decision. No, it's not. You uphold all the laws of the state of Oregon, not parts of them. And many times if you read that statute I just read, unless you read the whole thing and put it in context with the rest of it, doesn't make any sense. Oregon Live reports, and I agree with this interpretation, that the reference of property ownership that Bundy's is hanging his hat on is mostly pointed at the District of Columbia, not the states. So he has taken a piece out of context, in my mind. You have to read the whole document and uphold the whole document.
Do you think your constituents understand that well?
No, I don't. I mean, are there plenty that do? Yes. I got a couple of friends that were history and civics teachers that are just livid. Do they understand it? Yeah, they taught it to many of
fellow
us
communists.
That grew up here and went to school here. And they're wondering if those people my age now that they taught, did they remember what they taught them in school?
It's amazing to me. Okay, first of all, he's talking about the interpretation of the Constitution, and this man, as a judge, so-called, will sit here and tell you that he has to take all of laws and statutes and codes, and even refers to the Constitution as a statute. Ah! How do you argue with that? This man, who cannot even refer to the U.S. Constitution as the restriction upon government, which it is, nor the section, clause, or paragraph that Ammon is referring to that specifically restricts the government to a very narrow set of parameters. This is what the Constitution is, folks. The Constitution is not an empowerment document. It is a restriction upon a necessary evil that the founders saw fit to restrain with chains. That is what it is. It defined very specifically what the government could and could not do. And this man, in his interpretation, as a judge, so-called, would refer to the Constitution, first of all, as a statute, which just shows you the amount of ignorance that this man has, but then turns around and says, well, we have to employ all of the laws of the state of Oregon, not realizing that all of the laws of the state of Oregon have to be restricted by, controlled by, governed by the Constitution itself. How do you argue with that, is my question.
Well, the problem is you can't, and we know that they're operating under ORS, which is totally unconstitutional. ORS was created by the American Bar Association, the ABA.
Amen.
And, I mean, it's also operating under admiralty law or statutory law, whatever you want to call it. It's still unconstitutional.
Well, you know, the Bible says something about the law of the land and the law of the sea being combined at the same time, but, you know, I won't blow people's minds too much tonight. You know, I think that we have in very many ways illustrated the ignorance of these folks, the takeover that they have orchestrated over the period of over 150 years. You have individuals like Rachel Maddow, who attack sovereign citizens. There's another thing that I want to address tonight. Sovereign citizens. First of all, it's an oxymoron. Both can't exist within the same framework. However, sovereignty, let's speak to sovereignty. Sovereignty speaks of the foundational tenets that the Constitution lays out very specifically. And if anyone reads the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, we are endowed by who? Our Creator, with certain unalienable rights. And among these rights, I mean, it's really rather simple. It's not complicated. And they have taken that, they've secularized it, democratized it. Earlier on the National Intel Report, I quoted from Karl Marx and Joseph Stalin, who made very clear what democracy led to. And communism is its ultimate arbiter, its ultimate goal. And the 14th Amendment, and I have to say this, you know, my research, along with a few people that I've worked with, have all come to the same position. And I think that it was coined best, even though the L.B. Bork, you know, who derived a lot of his research from John Ainsworth, Riggs, myself, and a few others, Tom Woods, Ron Paul himself, who made it clear, Tom Woods, who made it clear that several state senators were kidnapped and forcibly sat to meet quorum in their states. My state, the state of New Jersey, who Senator John P. Stockton, who Stockton University is named after, made very clear that the 14th Amendment was forced by an act of armed usurpation and fraud. Now, this is not a southern state. This is a northern state who said this. Now, the reason that I mention this is because for the 14th Amendment to be possible, an event in history had to take place. First of all, the 13th Amendment that was passed, it was ratified absolutely and definitely. The War of 1812 that saw the British soldiers that marched into Washington and burnt down the National Archives, that burnt the White House to the ground, that burnt all of our official documents, but that left the British Patent Office. How funny. The Rothschild Army is what they did. They subverted the course of this union of republics. And they forever altered the course by which we took
And these liberal progressive nitwits, such as Rachel Maddow, who takes to the airwaves spewing her poison. And I'd like to say that, you know, when I went to the Bundy Ranch, I interviewed several people. And Stuart Rhodes was there. I worked for him briefly doing some video. However, there was a man who had a website called the Sipsey Street Irregulars. Sipsey Street Irregulars. This is the man who exposed the arms running the Fast and Furious situation. There are recordings of that at RTR Truth Media if you go back into the dates around the Bundy Ranch. And, you know, it blows my mind that the American public have for so long been subverted, have for so long been brainwashed to believe that the 13th Amendment never was ratified. Although I have had my team at RTR Truth Media went into the Texas State Library, the Sam Houston Texas State Library and Constitutional Research Center, with a video camera and recorded in the Virginia Revised Statutes the original 13th Amendment to the United States Constitution that made this criminal cabal of the Bar Association that has taken this union by a stranglehold, and it is proved that it is an unlawful, subversive, treasonous organization. What say you, my friend?
I'll let Jeremy expand on that.
Go ahead, Jeremy. Jeremy, I welcome you. Welcome you to the show. Go ahead, Jeremy.
You want me to expand on the foreign agent Esquires?
Sure, please do.
Well, my research that I have done is I've exposed that basically we are dealing with foreign agents that are crowned attorneys that work for Britain, and they operate under statutes and codes which only take effect underneath martial law, and that's why the 14th Amendment originally was passed after March 28th, 1861, when Congress adjourned sin die. Basically, it put us into a state of martial law. So all these laws that have been passed afterwards have basically been passed in martial law status. So if we came out of martial law, then all these laws would be gone.
That is a novel concept right there.
But that's just what I've been researching is how to kind of fix and put solutions out there for people. And from what I've understood, the bar has put things in a different language on purpose to manipulate the people. As long as you don't understand that language, they'll continue to do whatever they want. If you do understand the language, then they have a hard time dealing with you. I've won over 102 cases against the bar. They've tried multiple times to beat me and with people that I've worked with. Basically, all I've understood was what the rules are, how to write motions, and how to present these things correctly so even the judge will agree with you. And if the judge agrees with you, then you're playing tennis with the opposing counsel. The opposing counsel gets himself in a hard position because now he has to answer questions. Most of the time, what I'm seeing here is sovereignty comes from competence. You have to know what you're talking about in order to be recognized as a king. And if you don't know, then you'll be made fun of. And I've been seeing a lot of that in the courts. I was previously an insurance agent, so I got a lot of terminologies, or familiar to a lot of terminologies that a lot of people don't get to see. So I got into that, and I sold a lot of death insurance. So whenever I got into selling rights to people and they're, you know, knowing what their rights are, it made it sound a little bit more appealing. And I just kind of been understanding that this is what happened. In the very beginning, I had a court case that was kind of a framing, kind of target kind of situation. But I had been beating the case pretty hard on certain issues. And then the attorney, the public pretender, he came forward and he asked me if I wanted a bar card. I didn't have to take the test or nothing. He was just going to give it to me just because of my understanding of the law and how I had presented myself. I told him, no, that would be treasonous because I don't work for Britain. I work for America, and I'm not interested. He didn't ask me about any of that anymore. And after that, I continued to try to defend myself in the case, and I learned how to win. I had four people that taught me in the beginning a lot of sovereignty stuff, and then I had a person that was a defective paralegal that didn't want to become a bar member, kind of take me underneath his wing and show me how to put these formulas in a more agreeable fashion that the court would agree with. Since I've been doing that, I've been very, very effective. I've been winning a lot of cases really quick, but I haven't been doing it and representing them. I've been teaching the person and opening their mind, just teaching them that, you know, your rights are there,
good
given to you by God.
Good for you. God bless you. God bless you for that.
Your rights come from God, and they're recognized by the Constitution. As long as I keep on telling people this, to get out of the constitutional rights mentality, I'm saying these are God-given rights. They can't be taken away. Constitutional is a contract in bankruptcy. We don't want a constitution. We want a declaration
Amen.
Of independence. And that's all we want, because that's how kings became, and that's how slaves became kings overnight. And that's what scared the king. Sent a chill down his spine, you know. So I think this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen, is a Declaration of Independence. But my aspect of it is this. Britain has come over and hijacked the country. And it's been done through code of law. And the people don't understand what's going on. All these statutes and codes are being forced, and they are not laws. They only have the force of law by the consent of the governed. You have to literally agree to it in order for it to be a law. This is kind of interesting trickery that they've been doing for a long time, but the people need to understand where it is. They consent to give their rights up, but the reason why they do that is because they don't understand what's going on. I would say if we want to try to save this country, we need to get more people involved in being paralegals and getting into that one percentile of the community, understanding the law, reading the rules, and, you know, not getting lawyers and beating these guys out of their positions. Across the country, we've had lawyers represent and get into office, and because of that, we've been dealing with a lot of issues that we wouldn't be dealing with if normal people would be winning those positions. I believe if a bar member is running for office, it's almost treasonous, I mean, for a person to vote for them because they represent Britain. But, you know, most people don't understand that. So what we need to do is we need to educate the people to understand what we're dealing with. I believe what the Bible says, Luke 11:52, woe unto you, lawyers, for you've taken away the key of knowledge from the people. I believe that's exactly what happened. And
Amen.
If we start to get people on the same page to understand that we're dealing with people that are inside of a law society that are waging war against citizens and separating them from their money and their rights and their property, then we'll start to understand what we're fighting and dealing with. The revolution has to deal with people that have an open and educated mind to be able to deal with this stuff. And without that, I don't think we're going to be able to win or get anywhere. I've seen a lot of wins come on the fact that just a person tried to defend themselves.
Yes.
That's all.
Yes.
All they just got up and said, you know what, I got the courage, I'm going to do it. And then they won. And it's like, wow, that was fantastic.
Mr. Benjamin Franklin, what have you brought us? We have brought you a republic if you can keep it.
Exactly. Yeah. And I find that Thomas has even said that the people have to be educated. Or if they're not, then we are in a society of people that, you know, will never... I'm massacring the quote, but basically we're in a society that had never existed before, because we have to be educated in order to be free.
I agree with you on that, and you know, I've said for a long time, just like Benjamin Franklin said, and this was made very clear then, whether it was said in truth or whether it was said as an after fact, if you don't know how to govern yourself accordingly, you're basically screwed. And many of these individuals realized that from the onset, and they used that to their advantage. And they have created, over the course of many decades, tax-exempt foundations. They have subverted the educational system. They have essentially built this mainstream media corporate complex, this industrial media complex, to dumb down the public. And we had things happen in, over the course of time, like, you know, in World War II, when the Frankfurt School in Frankfurt, Germany, which was the Frankfurt School of basically of Marxism, of social justice, whatever you want to call it, when they had to flee Germany. And here are some of the outlying truths that are uncomfortable to the facts that people try and discuss, and of course they get smeared. Oh, you're a Nazi. No, I have no desire to be a part of any National Socialist or any other group pertaining itself to be supreme or supremacist above anyone else. But what I do have a problem with is the communist groups, the Marxist groups, such as the Frankfurt School, who during World War II evacuated Germany and planted or supplanted itself in the Columbia University in New York City, bringing with it all of its Marxist ideology. If you look to mainstream media today, for instance, I watch a lot of these videos regarding social justice warriors. I know you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So social justice warriors and this language that they use, political correctness is one of those terminologies that is brought up consistently. And as I see this atheistic group online that are rising up and combating social justice warriors, I look and I see the root of the group that's combating it, and it's atheistic. And I sit back saying, as a student of history, oh my Lord, look at what we have, a Hegelian dialectic in the making. We have primarily online, on YouTube and these social media outlets, an atheistic group that is now standing up against the nihilists, standing up against the social justice warriors for all the right reasons. But you notice that the one thing that they're not mentioning, they are not articulating, is the fact that their ideology is bounded and built upon Marxism. How interesting that is to me that they don't mention that. We have to go to break. We'll be right back. Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be right back, folks.
I'm not interested in
corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America.
With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at libertystickers.com. Again, that's libertystickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.